Can you see yourself as you really are? And that seems to be always the challenge that we have, that we face every day. And I was listening to a podcast that Steve James did this week, and that's where I got the idea of what I'd like to share today. Let's start in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Sometimes we have days or times of the day when we really don't think of ourselves too highly. Sometimes we have people telling us and pointing out our mistakes and our faults, which causes us to not think very highly of ourselves or to condemn ourselves. But whose opinion really matters to us? Is it God's opinion about us or our opinion about us? Which one really has the greatest impact in our life? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. My gosh. The manner of love, the kind of love that the Father has on us, in that He called us His sons. We became part of His family. That's how He shows His love. It's one thing to say, I love you. But when you act on that love and do things for others that is sometimes not even your own interest to do. And certainly it wasn't in God's interest to have His Son die. That was not something that God would have wanted to happen. Except we needed it. And because our need was so great, He sent His only begotten Son into the world. And because our need was so great and Jesus Christ's love was so great for us, He gave His life. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now, I was so blessed with what Terry shared about her work. But it isn't just at our workplace that we have people that don't understand us. It's all around us. Sometimes it's our own family that doesn't understand who God has made us. And why don't they understand us? It's because they didn't know God or God's Son. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now that's a statement of truth. That is immutable. That is unchangeable. Now are we the sons of God. No matter what happens to us, or what happens for us, we remain the sons of God. Yet there's more. There's more that's coming. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. When Jesus Christ comes back, as good as it is now, it's going to be even better. Because I get to get rid of this pot belly. And I don't have to run or walk as much to try to get rid of it. But you understand, all these aches and pains that we feel in life, that's gone. Because we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a brand new body. But even that is sometimes unimaginable to our five senses mind. So it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that, because the Word says so, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What's it mean to be like Christ? What would that mean? Well, how was He raised? He was raised and he was when He got up, God gave Him not only eternal life, but He got a new body too. And that body was capable of doing things that we just can't do. I mean, I can't just appear in a room and be with Tom and with Melissa when she comes back. I can't just do that. Pop done that. But he did. He ascended up into heaven. I haven't done that yet. But the point is that even though we're going to be like him, the difference between that's going to be between me and Christ and you and Christ is that when God did all that for him, then he gave him all power and authority. Then he gave him all power and authority. And if you think about it, we're in a presidential election year right now. And the day before that the president gets sworn in, he's a citizen, just like everybody else. But the day he gets sworn in, what happens? He's given the power and authority of his office. Well, Jesus Christ was given all power and authority when he was ascended into heaven. So that's a big difference. But as far as us all being like together, we're going to have the same kind of resurrection that Jesus Christ had. And every man that hath this hope in him. Well, where is that hope residing? In our thoughts.
In our mind.
That's right. It's what is in our heart and in our thoughts. That's where the hope resides. And when it does what? It purifieth himself. It gets rid of the impurities, those thoughts that are unprofitable, that drag us down about ourselves. Even as he is pure. So we become like Christ. In our thoughts, in our actions, we become like Christ. But we have to keep that hope within us. It is what we think about what God has made us to be that will determine how we live. Moving over to verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So we don't feel good about ourselves. We messed up. Does God condemn us? Does Jesus Christ condemn us? No. If we condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. It is what we think about ourselves that gives us the ability to walk in the presence of God and go, Father, Abba, Father. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. There's all kinds of references about how good a father God is. Jesus Christ said, well, if you prayed for bread, would he give you a stone? Of course not. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keepeth his commandments. And there is the condition. When we keep his commandments, is another way of stating it, then he can answer our prayers. Why? Because of our thoughts. Our thoughts are in alignment and harmony with God and what his will is. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's the purpose of why we do those and control our thoughts, which kind of ties back into last week's teaching. We want to control our thinking. And in this particular week, we want to look at, we want to control it toward who we really are, who God has made us. And this is his commandment. If you were wondering what those kind of commandments is, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? But it takes will. It takes effort of thought to love people who are unloving. That's where the real, real work comes in. When we love people who are unloving, especially to us. But the commandment stands regardless. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him. So as we do the will of God, keep his commandments, love one another, then we live in him. And he in him. The person who is doing the will of God and keeping his commandments, then God dwells in him. And he dwells in God. That is pretty good. If there's any reason to love somebody, that's a pretty good reason. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. How do we know we're born again? We speak in tongues. Do you know how many Christians wonder if they're born again, if they're saved? Most of them really wonder, if I've done something that God is displeased with, will I get into heaven? You don't ever have to have that thought because you've spoken in tongues. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So no matter what the adversary brings against us, we have what is greater in us. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Whereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If you want to know God, there is no other way to do it except that you love. Because that's who he is. If we want to understand our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know how you do it? You do the same thing. You love people like he did. People, and I am included, are looking forward to the time when I can sit down with Jesus Christ and look in his face and have a conversation that I've always wanted to have. But that time is not yet. Unless he chooses to do something like that. But that would not be guaranteed in his word. But what we do have is an ability to know him as intimately, more intimately than we do our own spouses, our own children who we're with every day. Because, you know, your spouse can, who you're supposed to know pretty good after so many years, they can fool you sometimes. They'll do something, you kind of go, I never knew that you thought that. But if you want to know what Jesus Christ thinks, put on his thoughts. If you want to know how he felt when he ministered to somebody, minister to somebody. How about when there was a miracle that happened at his command? Do miracles as God directs. That's how you know. So, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So let's say we have become angry at somebody. I'm really, really angry, and then I become bitter about something. What do you think my understanding of God's going to become? Well, first of all, it starts to get a little hazy. Then it gets a little foggy, and then it kind of blacks out. I don't see him at all. I don't see him anywhere doing anything in my life. Because I ceased to love. It's in my loving that I understand my Father. And I also understand his Son, because he did his Father's will always. Verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Did God love us because we loved Him? No, it's not that we loved Him. It was that He loved us. Well, that's the pattern that we should follow. People don't have to love us before we love them. They don't have to be kind to us before we love them. It wasn't necessary for God, and as His being our Father, we want to follow His direction. What verse am I in?
Nine.
12, yeah. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. When we love, the love of God toward others, that love grows and becomes perfected. I don't know that we'll ever reach perfection, but it certainly becomes better, stronger, more mature. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Every day we are presented with choices. And it's only our perception of who we are that will make it so that we can make the best decisions. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Again, the idea is what we do and what we think. Follow peace with all men. If I'm angry with all men, and if I act unholy, which means contaminated with bad thoughts and bad actions, without which no man shall see the Lord. And seeing is knowing. It's the perception that we have of our Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, or fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In other words, let's look at Esau. Esau was born at the same time, a twin of Jacob. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. There's no mention in that lineage of Esau when the word starts talking about the line of believers. Esau was in the line of believers because he was born first. Isn't that amazing? Usually it's the firstborn. But watch what happens in Genesis 25, verse 21. There's great, great stories that helps us understand how God works with people. But Isaac was in love with Rebecca, but he had to marry Rebecca's sister first. That was, hey, I'll throw in my other daughter. It'll be great. Just work another 7 years. Anyway, but she wasn't having children where all the other ladies were. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. So he heard the prayer. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And she conceived pretty darn good because it was twins. And the children struggled together within her. I can't imagine what that feels like, but just having one baby in there, it's like they're in there tussling around with a ball, isn't it? They're kicking and rolling around. But they're fighting with each other. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" I imagine many pregnant women have thought the same thing, and especially in the summertime. And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb.
Wow.
And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." It was prophecy. And it helped her believe. And not only so, she later did an action that brought this to pass. Verse 24, "And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." 80 is 60 years, right? I think score is 20 years. 60 years old. So, Jacob had a hold of Esau's heel. It's like, "You're not leaving without me, brother." But he is still born second. "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents." He was a mama's boy. He didn't like to go out and get dirty, I guess. "And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage. He was in there making some stew. And Esau came in from the field, and he was faint." Now, if he could walk in from the field, he wasn't ready to die. He was just feeling a little hungry. He's probably feeling a lot hungry. "And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that some red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.'" That's a pretty steep price for a bowl of pottage, don't you think?
Yeah.
So what was the birthright that he was speaking of? Well, physically speaking, the firstborn usually got the largest portion of the inheritance from the father, as well as the responsibility of running the family. But not only that, but the blessing that was coming as a result of Abraham and the line of inheritance, Abraham, the bloodline went to Isaac, and then the bloodline of believers now was going to go to one of these sons. And tradition says it was going to be Esau. The bloodline, okay, of the Savior. So he says, "Sell me this day thy birthright." Verse 32. "And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall be this birthright due to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And God didn't like that. God didn't like that. And if you are interested, you ought to go read the rest of what happened. Because when it comes time for Isaac to give his blessing, she tricks him because his eyesight is, he was blind at this point. So he was going by feel. And so Rebecca put on some lamb's wool onto Jacob and sent him in first. So the father felt his arm and felt, oh, you're nice and hairy. That's my son Esau. So he gave him the blessing that he would give to the firstborn. But it was actually to the secondborn, which was fulfilling the prophecy that God gave to Rebecca. Anyway, didn't work out good for the brothers. Jacob ran away, and that's where he met his bride-to-be, which was Rachel. That's right. It was Rachel and Jacob that had the sisters. Sorry, got that mixed up. Anyway, Fred and I were talking yesterday. We're talking about our children. And I was saying how much I was, you know, how great it was that his kids do so well. And then, you know, my children are doing well too. But Fred came back and he said, you know what? I think I'd rather have them hungry for the Word and loving God over any of the other stuff. And that's my desire too. I wish that, and my hope one day is my children will love God and love His Word as much as I do. But that's something that they have to come to themselves. But we sure can pray for it. But that's what Esau didn't have. He didn't have a love for God. He didn't respect what God had available to him. He didn't think of himself as an inheritor of the blessing that was to Abraham. That's what he didn't think about himself. But Jacob saw the importance of it. He believed that there was going to be a blessing because of Abraham. And he went for it. He valued it enough. Let's go to Psalm 73, verse 1. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw prosperity of the wicked. So where was his thoughts? Jealousy. All these bad people are doing so good. So that's when his heart was failing him, because he wasn't believing who God had made him to be. He was David. My goodness. He was the chosen of God to be the leader of Israel, to be the king. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. I don't know exactly what that image is. But except they must have everything that they want. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouths against the heavens, which means God, and their tongues walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and the water of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. All the things I'm doing to try to walk uprightly are in vain. That's what his thoughts are. Okay? And a lot of these psalms that go like that. You know, woe is me. And but then I turned. Watch what happens here. Until when I thought, where was that?
14.
For all the day long I have been plagued and chastised every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Reins is the heart, the innermost core. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before them. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So yeah, we do have bad days. But every time we put our thoughts on God, we see that everything that is in the world is going to end. All the prosperity, all the riches, all the fame, all the power, all the glory is going to end. But for us, we have yet to be glorified the way God is going to glorify us. But we don't want to wait to the end before we live righteously, before we put on the mind of Christ. Because as we do that, we are made stronger. We are purified daily. So that's what I'd love to share with you.